Welcome everyone to the house of the Lord this morning, and let's just bow our heads in a word of opening prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather in your house to worship you. We ask that you prepare our hearts, take away the distractions of the world, and that our time of worship may be focused on you. Please bless our time of worship, and may it be honoring unto you. We ask that everything be done according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. Our call to worship this morning is taken from 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. And with that, let us stand to sing our opening hymn, hymn number 6, with harps and with vials. Hymn number 6, with harps and with vials, and we'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, as we lift up our voices in worship to you, we remember that you have loved us and cleansed us of our sins. We remember that you are sovereign and in control of all things, and that we can trust in you for your perfect will for our lives. Thank you for the many blessings that you give to us, as well as your daily mercies to us, even when we do not recognize them. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, and for the gift of salvation freely offered to us. May we refocus our lives on you and revive our faith that you would have the preeminence in our lives and bring glory to you. We ask that everything be done according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to the Father. Be seated. Our responsive scripture reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'll begin in verse 1 and we'll read responsively. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. For in time past he walked according to the command of the Lord, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22 in unison. in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. May God bless this reading of his word. We'll now stand for our next hymn, hymn number 214, Standing on the Promises. Hymn number 214, Standing on the Promises, and we'll stand to sing. Seated. We will now be having the Lord's Supper, and it's going to be a little different this day as we have Pastor Isaac conducting our communion service remotely over Zoom. It's the first time doing this, so there's probably going to be some form of technical difficulties, so just bear with us as we set this up. And sound room, if I could just get you to mute the pulpit mic just as I bend it over.
Oh, this is good morning to you in Vancouver. It is also good morning, early morning in Singapore. This is a wonder of modern technology that though we are halfway across the world apart, we can have this time together to observe the Lord's Supper, I invite you to turn the Bibles to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, I'll read from verse 5 onwards. Titus chapter 3 says, Paul's words, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the rewashing of the regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And in this portion of scripture, we have Paul giving to us, telling us how we might be saved, not by our own works of righteousness, but by God's mercy and by God's grace. You see, we who are born sinners can never be unable to find ourselves in the presence of God by our own means. Salvation cannot be bought. Salvation cannot be earned. Salvation can only be given by grace. And it is our Lord Jesus Christ, by sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, and saves us by his atoning work. So each time we come to the Lord's Supper, we are to remember what Christ has done for us. But as Paul also says, each time as we come,
let's all come and partake in faith and with thanksgiving. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So the Lord's Supper is open to all who are born again, baptized in any true church of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are born again, baptized, reaffirmed, we certainly welcome you to partake in the Lord's Supper with us. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, he gave disciples, and it says, take and eat in remembrance of me. The deacons and the elders will distribute the elements. You may stand and to receive it, and after that you may be seated after you have received the elements.
Thank you.
let's all take and eat and remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Following the bread, our Lord Jesus Christ also took the cup. And when he has given thanks, he told the disciples, and he says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for the remission of sins of many. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Again, arise to take the cup, and then you may be seated after that. Let's all take and drink and remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer together. Almighty God, our loving Father, we thank you again for your amazing grace to call us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you also for this means of grace, the Lord's Supper, so that we may, in drinking and in partaking both of the bread and the cup, that our faith will grow from strength to strength. Father, we pray, O Lord, that in our eating and drinking, our hearts may also be renewed, our lives may be reconsecrated to you in service. Hear this, our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now I'll pass the time back to Deacon Kurt, who will lead the rest of the worship service.
Thank you, Pastor Isaac, for conducting the remote communion service. Of course, we had little technical difficulties as anticipated, and unfortunately one human issue of me kicking the power cable, but glad we got past that. Now I invite the ushers to come forward to collect the tithes and offerings. Ushers, please. Let us rise for the singing of the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gifts and provisions in our lives. We return the tithes and offerings due unto you out of the abundance that you have given us. Please accept these offerings, and may they be used for the furtherance of your kingdom and in a way that is honoring to you. We ask that everything be done according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our next hymn is hymn number 408, Blessed Assurance. Hymn number 408, Blessed Assurance. For singing. Our sermon text this morning is going to be taken from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, and I'll be reading 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 1 to 16 for context. So that's 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 1 to 16. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. May God bless this reading of his word. And now I invite Deacon Samuel Chow to come up to deliver the message entitled, Kept by the Power of God, based on 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Deacon Samuel.
As the children leave us for their Sunday school activities, our meditation is on 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. I'll read it for you. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let us just bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege that we can have in this country, whereby we can come and freely worship you. We have this place of worship. We have this church building where we can gather as a congregation. We thank you that we can come without thought of persecution or harm. And we also thank you for the means of grace that you have gathered and given to us. And we pray that you may help us as you have put us in this place at this time, not to live for ourselves, but to live for you. And so we pray that you may help us to instill within us this commitment to you. We pray that you will help us, give us the grace we need each day to bear our trials. Give us wisdom in discerning what is right and what is wrong and what choices we should make so that we will glorify you. And we pray for your word, that it may lay root in our hearts, that it will go from pew to pew, seat to seat, heart to heart, and it may lay root, it may cause us, convict us of our sins, and it may turn us to you and draw us in a closer relationship with you. And so we pray as we dive into your word, enlighten us, illumine us by your Holy Spirit. We need your work, we need your help, both in the pulpit and in the pew. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if this has ever occurred to you, but one time I was driving towards Horseshoe Bay, the ferry terminal. I was picking up Sue at the time, And as I was making my way down to the ferry terminal at Horseshoe Bay, a little light indicator came up on my car. Well, I was low on gas. A bit in me thought that my car, you know, the distance to empty, I was able to make it on my way down. And then on my way up, I underestimated how hilly that much of an incline it is from the ferry terminal to onwards through Vancouver. And so it looked to be okay. Picks you up, we're making our way up, and I started my way through West Vancouver, and then all of a sudden, pop, plop, plop, my car died. And I was stuck. I had officially run out of gas. I was stuck. I don't know why I was doing this. I was stuck on the left-hand side, so the fast lane, and there was nowhere in sight in the next exit, and it's on an incline. So there's no way I was going to push that car. There's no way Sue was going to push that car. And so I was stuck on the side of the highway. Well, we don't have BCAA. We're not in a safe location where I can just walk and cross the highway and go get a tank, a jerry can of gas. But fortunately for us, one of the benefits that we had, we realized was on our credit card that had what you call roadside assistance. So we called the credit card customer service. They linked us up and transferred to the tow truck service. And then they sent another vehicle, which saved us with this little jerry can of gas. And we're thankful, you know, that we had this extra benefit on our credit card. Now, some of you have experienced what it is like to have benefits. You have benefits through your employment, whether it's health, dental, those kind of prescription drugs and benefits. Sometimes when you're shopping for a credit card or car insurance or house insurance, it comes with some add-on benefits that you can purchase. Well, this morning, Peter, in our text today, right off the bat, he introduces what I say the ultimate benefit package for Christians. You see, there's no probation period. There's no, pay an annual fee and you are subscribed or enrolled for a year. It's at no cost. And we have the ultimate benefits package that is fully guaranteed. And so 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, if you look down with me at this verse, Peter starts off by thanking God for this resurrection hope. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to this abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And then here comes the benefit package in verse 4. He says, "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And so we have this benefit, and it comes in the form of an inheritance that is incorruptible, meaning that it does not decay. Secondly, Peter says it is an inheritance that is undefiled, meaning that it's unable to be tainted with sin. And then thirdly, it's an inheritance that fadeth not away, meaning it does not lose its beauty or its glory. But here's the thing. This benefit package is, you know, in a way, paid out or realized only when we go to heaven. It says here, reserved in heaven. And of course, we're not there now. And so the trouble is, how do I know that I have the strength to remain faithful to the very end? What is there? What benefit is there to me now? How do I know, you know, when life gets a bit harder, when the waves of life come crashing down on me, how do I know that I would remain faithful to God? What is there that God has given me, afforded to me to stay within his love, to stay within his grace? Well, you see, in verse 5, I would say there's another benefit package, or part of the benefit package has been given to the Christian. And it's in verse 5, it says who, and this who in verse 5 refers to the us in verse 3, the you in verse 4, so that means us Christians, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, just to explain a bit, it says here, unto salvation, it means into salvation, salvation that is to be revealed at the last time. This is the glorification. This is when Jesus returns. And so dead or alive, even if you are 10 feet down in the grave, your salvation here is guaranteed. But we already know that from verse 3. But here is the promise and the benefit of verse 5, and it still applies to us this very day. And so firstly, if you are a child of God, you are under the protection of God. If you look at verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God. It's this word that I want you to focus on, whether you want to underline it or highlight it in your Bibles, is this word kept. And I'm going to read this verse 5, in other English translations so that you can get a better idea of the meaning of this word. And so in the NIV, it says, who through faith are shielded. So in a sense, you're defended or protected on defense by God's power unto the coming of salvation. In the English Standard Version, ESV, it says, who by God's power are being guarded. It's the idea of being garrisoned through faith for salvation. The New American Standard Version says, who are protected by the power of God. So here has the idea of protection. We have the word guarded. We have the word shielded. And the New American Bible says, who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith to a salvation. And so now, out of all those English translations, and as well as our KJV, kept, I would say that the word guarded really hit the nail on the head. You can even write, perhaps, the word garrisoned, and it would be a better translation in to give the meaning of the word, because this word kept is a military word. And so if in the first century AD, during the time of the Old Testament when this book was written, there was a Jew named Philo of Alexandria in Egypt. And so he wrote, what he did as a Jew is he kind of read the Torah and he wrote his commentary on it in some sense. And so he wrote about the Exodus from Egypt, and you know, the 10 plagues, the Red Sea and all that. And one of the stories there in Numbers he wrote was about the 12 spies that were sent into Canaan. And if you remember, 10 spies came back. Well, 2 spies came back, and Joshua and Caleb, and they said, well, we can go in if God is on our side and we can overcome the Canaanites. 10 spies came back and says, well, these guys are too big, they're too strong, we can't do that. Well, in Philo's rendition of that event, he uses this word, the same word kept in 1 Peter 1, verse 5, and he says this. This is what the 10 spies said in his rendition. He says, what is the advantage to us of those good things which belong to others when they are guarded by a mighty force so that they can never be taken from their owners? And so if we understand this, this meaning, connotation of the word kept that was used during the time when Peter wrote this epistle, and we apply it to this verse, well, we understand that God is protecting Christians from external attacks. That is why we would say in John 10, verse 28, you know that verse, no man is able to pluck me or pluck you, believers, out of my Father's hand. Well, we know that no external attack, Satan can't go in, his demons can't go in and pluck you out of the Father's hand, out of God's hand. Well, what does this mean? Well, we are kept, we are protected, we are safeguarded, we are shielded from external attacks by the power of God. Well, that is true, but sometimes the critique for that John 10:28 verse is, well, if I'm being guarded by an external attack, like how a castle is guarded by its walls. John 10:20 says, "No man can pluck me out of my Father's hand." Well, what happens if I walk out myself? Can I pluck myself out of my Father's hand, of God's hand? And so let's hold on to that thought for a moment, and I'll ask that you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, we are kept or we are protected from external attacks, but there's also another sense, a double meaning to this word kept in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 32. This is Paul. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 32, he says, "In Damascus, the governor unto Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand." Well, in verse 32, "In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king," it says here, "kept." This word "kept" is the same Greek word as in 1 Peter 1 verse 5. And so is this governor here setting up protection or guards to protect from an external attack? No. We just read the story where Paul was persecuted, or we know here in this chapter, Paul was persecuted for his faith, he was whipped, he was stoned, he was being chased, and in this instance, he recounts how he had to escape by being let down by a basket, by the wall. And so Paul is not trying to attack a city. He's trying to escape a city. And that's, in another sense, the meaning of this word in 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, to be kept, protected from being, from escaping. Now, this word kept appears only four times in the Bible. And so let's look at the other versions of, or other verses of this, if you turn to Galatians 3 and verse 23. Galatians 3 and verse 23. It says there, "But before faith came, we were kept." This is the word that is in 1 Peter 1 verse 5. "We were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed." And so here in Galatians 3:23, you are kept under the law. That's the word, guarded or kept in 1 Peter 1 verse 5. And so before faith, before you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you were kept, you were locked, you were bound by chains, in a way, under the law. You had no escape. Now, the last occurrence is in Philippians 4 and verse 7. Philippians 4 and verse 7, a familiar verse for us all. Philippians 4 verse 7, it says, "The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep," same word here as guarded, "shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, if you have experienced the peace of God in your life when it comes to a certain circumstance, well, you know how reassuring it can be and how safe and guarded you felt in that moment. And so back to 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, who are kept. This word in the various contexts means that you're being protected from not only an external attack, but you are being protected from being or kept from escaping. Not just from external, but internally as well. And so just to rebut in that critique of John 10, verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The verse says, no man can pluck you, a believer, out of God's hand. And the question we ask is, can a believer pluck himself out of God's hand? Well, the answer is no, because 1 Peter 1 verse 5 says, we are garrisoned. God has kept you from escaping as well this salvation, which is going to be revealed at the last time. We are being protected not only from Satan and his fiery darts, but we are also protected from escaping. And so firstly, if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, if you are a true believer today, you are under the protection of God. And this protection is against external attacks, and I would say even internally, from you escaping his hand. Well, secondly, if you are a child of God, not only are you under the protection of God, you are protected in the power of God. Again, in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, earlier we focused on the word kept as this idea of being garrisoned, of guarding. Now, if you turn your attention to the very next word in our KJV, it's a word by. Now, in the Greek, this word is actually in, I-N. Like whether you are in or out. And so you can say you are kept in the power of God. And I think that gives a better imagery in our minds what it means to be kept by the power of God, because you're in within the power of God. And this is important. If you remember back in 2018, at the at this whole start of the whole Huawei issue, and it was the one executive that was arrested in Canada on behalf of the U.S. What followed not shortly after was that two Canadians in China were detained. You see, these two Canadians were not detained on Canadian soil, where they're under the dominion and the power of Canada, but they were detained outside when they're not within the borders of this land. And so likewise, we can apply this here, is we are safeguarded, we are safe, we are protected, because we are in the power of God. And it's because this power of God is not just any old power and there's an equivalence in the world, but this power, the almighty power of God, is superior. We have the children's song, you know, my God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do, right? And that highlights his omnipotence. There's no one that can rival him in power. There's no yin and yang, evil and good opposing forces, where there is a tug of war of God against the devil. This is the power of God, if we think about it for a moment, that created the universe in 6 days. It is the power of God that even keeps in this very moment the universe in movement, so that, you know, the planets don't collide with one another. It's the power of God, this power of God, that parted the Red Seas, that brought down the walls of Jericho just by shouting. It is the power of God that healed the sick, that made the lame to walk again, made the blind to see. And it's the same power of God that resurrected Jesus from the grave. Now tell me, is there a greater power than that? And if you understand that promise that you are currently kept in the power of God unto salvation, let's look at this wonderful promise in verse 3 to 5. And we'll just backtrack a little bit here. In verse 3, what is the promise that we just read in verse 3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The promise here in verse 3 to 4, God has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, when will we see this promise or this inheritance? Well, it says in verse 4, reserved in heaven for you. And the beauty of verses 3 to 5 is this. You know, before you go to a popular restaurant, you have some maybe guests that you have in town. what do you do if you know that you don't want to be standing outside in a line for 30 to 60 minutes? Well, you make a reservation, right? You call up the restaurant, you ask them, can I reserve for so-and-so people on this day at this time? And the restaurant obliges. They put your name down in the scheduler, and then on the night of, they prepare, they set up the table, they put the little reserve sign there so that it is ready for you at your appointed time. Well, you see, although they did that, that does not guarantee you get to that restaurant on time. You see, half the work is done. You still have to make your way, get ready, get in the car, drive, hope there's no issue on the road or traffic that is out of your control, and get there. Well, the blessing here is that our inheritance and our current present situation is not that, where the restaurant does half the work. God saves that inheritance in heaven for us. And then for us, we have to do the work to make sure we get there. It says here in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You see, God not only does the work in eternity where he is reserving an inheritance for us, is kept by not the power of man, not by my power, not by your power, but is kept by the power of God. You see, God is the one preserving us till this very day. And so even if we go back to that verse, John 10:28, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And the question I ask, can any man pluck them out of my hand? We said no, because first we're being kept in. We're being protected from external attacks. We're also being protected from escaping. But you can also say that no man, not even ourselves, can pluck us out of God's hand, because we are under the protection of God's power. And if you can say, I can pluck myself out of God's hand, what you're saying is that I am more powerful than God, that I can pry God's fingers open, release myself, and walk out of here. Well, the thing is, if you could do that, there is no need for you to come to him for salvation in the first place. And so we are protected by or in the power of God. And so this is an encouragement to the people, especially in Peter's time, who are facing trials and suffering. They were Christians, but yet they were under, firstly, the protection of God. Secondly, they were also protected in the power of God. Well, briefly, I want us to see that this very moment, presently, when because we are a child of God, we are presently and always in the protection of God. This word, who are kept, this verb, kept, is in the present continuous tense. It means always, now, and ongoing. Well, and so this very moment, you are kept in the power of God. Tonight, you are kept in the power of God. Tomorrow, the next week, the next month, If you are a true Christian and true believer, you will always be kept in the power of God until the day of the last day when Jesus returns. But here is the key. How do we realize this salvation? If it's everything of God, it doesn't mean that we sit back and relax. Well, in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith. The key here is through faith. And we come to salvation through faith. It is realized, this promise is realized through faith. And so what is faith? Well, in the Bible, there's many uses of the word faith. It's used as a noun, what you believe in. It's also used in a sense as a verb. And so in a way, you can say faith is action based upon belief and that is sustained by confidence. And so many theologians will break down faith into various aspects. There's an aspect of knowledge. You have to know what is correct. Theology, God is the only one true God. You have to also have, there's an aspect of belief. It's not good enough to know the facts, but it's to also believe in the facts. And then there's an aspect of confidence and experience where you realize that faith. And so here, for us as believers, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Well, how do we realize this promise, this guarding of God? Well, we keep ourselves, we realize it through faith. It's like a chair. I may believe that this chair is sturdy, has four legs, but there's another aspect of this faith in this chair, of also experiencing it, that it can also hold my weight by physically going and sitting on it. And so you see, faith as well for the Christian is not just knowing who God is, knowing what he has done for us and repenting, but it's also our faithfulness to him. This is how we are kept by the power of God in this present moment, in this very day, until the salvation that will be ready to be revealed in God's time. And so for us, are we being faithful? Are we faithful in our daily activities? Are we faithful in our commitment to Christ? Are we faithful in our service to him? It is through our faithfulness that we see and we realize this promise to us. Not only is there inheritance for us in heaven, but there is an inheritance or there is a promise to us this very day. You see, right now, Jesus is at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for us. You see, when Satan says, well, you know, Sam, on that very day in 2020, he did this grievous sin, you shouldn't admit him to heaven. No. Jesus is there, and he says, no. You see, that man is a child of God. He is mine. I have chosen him from before the foundation of this world, and he is kept by my power. He is protected. He is safeguarded, and you can't have him. That is the idea that we have here, that right now our salvation is kept not by our own merits, not by our own power, but by the power of God. And the amazing thing here is we're not kept in the power of God for wealth. We're not kept in the power of God for pride, for success in this world. But we are kept for the greatest gift of all, and that is eternal salvation. And so may this help us, encourage us in the months and the weeks ahead, whatever rough patches we may be going through, whatever thoughts may come and enter our minds, may we remember that we are children of God and that we are held within the power of God, and there is no man that can pluck us out of his hand. Now, to the unbeliever, if today you do not know Christ as your Savior, if you have this insecurity, you don't know what is going to happen if you pass away. What is there after this life? Well, there is judgment for what we have done. No man can claim that they are perfect. And because of that, we have to be accountable for what we have done. And we are accountable to an almighty, holy God. And he says, for the wages of sin is death. But he also says that I have sent my Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. And so if you confess your sins today, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. You don't have to come and say, well, I have earned and give this much to the church. You don't have to say, well, I've done all these good things in my life and I donated to charity. I helped a guy cross the road. No. all you have to do is come to him, as this verse says, through faith, believing that he is sufficient to cleanse you of your sins, and that you will ask him to be your Lord and Savior in your life. And with that, you too will be afforded the benefits of salvation, not only of an inheritance reserved for you in heaven, but also this guarding, this safekeeping in this life as well. And so may this help us and encourage us in our walk on this earth. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you of how you have not left us alone. You still keep your ever caring hand over us, and that you are also thinking about us, providing for us each and every day, not just spiritually, but also physically. And we pray that no matter what happens in our life, whatever may ail us, physically, in our bodies, mentally, financially, emotionally, that we will trust in you, that we will lean on you in faith, and that we will be guarded by and in your power, so that we will not waver or doubt of your finished work on the cross, thinking that we can add anything to it. For we know that your blood is sufficient and efficient for all who come to him. And so we pray, be with us, guard us, keep this word in our hearts, we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.